This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're looking at the surface of the planet Earth for important decisions made at SpaceX about its Dragon capsule. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. Most importantly, he's the author of a book, Pioneers, a novel about colonial enterprise in space that has been rendered a video game. And that video game is a Kickstarter campaign to raise money to launch this nationally. There is a website, pioneerspacegame.com, where you can go and find out how you can contribute to turning this into a video game. This is about really cool stuff on Mars that's in front of us. It's not fantastic anymore. It's not what if. It's in front of us. And the Kickstarter campaign is your way of participating in the next and the next and the next education, because this is going to take education generations to get people used to the fact that we're going to have another planet, and it's going to be made up of colonies, some of them quite elaborate and competitive, underneath the Martian soil. Bob, a very good evening to you. Your Kickstarter campaign is important. However, we're back at the beginning. Now I have to come to put away my imagination and then come back to Texas. SpaceX and its manned Dragon capsule, a fleet. It's naming the size of the fleet. Why, Bob? What is the purpose? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, thank you for plugging the Pioneer Space Game Kickstarter campaign on Behind the Black. I really appreciate that. I hope people pledge. SpaceX is just about to fly the first mission of its fourth manned Dragon capsule. It's named Freedom. The other three capsules are named Endeavour, Resilience, and Endurance. So SpaceX now, as a private company, has a fleet of four manned spacecraft to bring people to and from space. Well, the CEO of SpaceX, Gwynne Shotwell, revealed this week that they are freezing construction of further capsules. They don't plan to make additional capsules at this point. And let me quote her. She added that SpaceX would retain the capability to build more capsules if need arises in the future, but contended that, quote, fleet management is key, close quote. In other words, and this is how SpaceX is now managing its Falcon 9 first stages, essentially, they're treating this as a fleet of airplanes that go to space. And they have four, and they think that's sufficient. They need to fulfill their contracts with NASA to bring astronauts to and from, as well as do private commercial flights. And so that's where they stand right now. It also indicates they're moving towards shifting development money to Starship. In the long run, they expect Dragon and Falcon 9 to be retired when Starship begins to fly. And so they want to shift as much development money staff towards working towards that. And so that's why they're doing this. So that's where we stand. A private commercial fleet of four vehicles that can go into space, John. I think it's pretty remarkable.
This is a moment, Bob, we get to consider the bigger picture. There's a modality switch underway. We're moving from space capsules mounted on boosters that launch into orbit or orbit of the moon into a spaceship, Starship, that would function as a much larger and more elaborate and more complicated space capsule. Do I say that correctly, Bob?
To a certain extent, John, the better way to put it is moving from capsules, which is a 60s thing and unfortunately has been reborn in the 20s because of need. We're going to shift from that to giant shuttles, like the space shuttle, except now privately built, and that's what the Starship is. It's basically a privately built, much more efficient and cost-effective version of the government space shuttle. It'll actually do what the shuttle is supposed to do, launch many times cheaply.
Starship, Boca Chica, Starship, waiting for approval. By whom, Bob?
Well, back in October, it was revealed that for Starship to launch orbitally from Boca Chica, the FAA had to complete and approve what they called an environmental reassessment of the Boca Chica site. When SpaceX first got permission to start launching there, their environmental impact statement was for launching Falcon 9 and Falcon Heavy rockets. So the FAA decided, and apparently once the Biden administration came in, that an environmental reassessment was needed because it was going to be Starship instead. And in October, the FAA said it was going to release that decision by the end of December. And I predicted in October that that wouldn't happen, that they would delay it, and they'd delay it multiple times till at least February or March so that SLS could launch first. Well, I was right about the delay, because they're still delaying, but I was wrong about how long they're going to delay and the reasons thereof. They're not delaying it because they want SLS to launch first. They're delaying it because the Biden administration does not like Elon Musk or private enterprise or wants government control, and so therefore the bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. is working to block Starship entirely. And so end of December launch date was delayed till end of January, then it was delayed till end of February, then it was delayed to end of March, and this week the FAA admitted, as March was coming to an end, that they were not going to issue the reassessment. They were going to delay it again till April 29th. And I'm predicting that they're going to do this month to month until past November, so they can get away past the actual election, and then they will feel free, the Biden administration, to shut down launch operations at Boca Chica by SpaceX.
There is a workaround. What is it, Bob?
Well, SpaceX has an environmental impact permission to launch Starship from Kennedy. And they have a launch site already being prepared, and Elon Musk has said that if he doesn't get permission to launch from Boca Chica, he'll just simply shift Starship launch operations to Kennedy. His original plan was not to do test launches from Kennedy, but to simply begin operations there as well as Boca Chica. Well, now he'll just simply put both test and operations at Kennedy. This will be a major, major, major economic hit for the Rio Grande Valley at the southern tip of Texas, because SpaceX was bringing industry there for the first time in literally decades, real big money, and that's all going to vanish. That's going to vanish almost entirely with this move, John.
We have a NASA proposed budget for the fiscal year 2023. That's now looking into the future. They want more money. Any surprises here, Bob?
No, they always want more money. They asked for more money last year. Congress didn't give them as much as they wanted. They're asking for a lot more money this year. Congress, of course, will give them more money. It always does. But it might not give them the money they want in the places they want, in the amounts they want. And that's not news. This is just the way our spendthrift Congress works. As much as I love space and space exploration, I do not endorse giving NASA unlimited amounts of money. In fact, I would like to cut that budget by about 30%. We could actually get more done if the money was spent more wisely for less. But that's not what our Congress does. That's not what NASA does. And that's the end.
There are more lunar rovers coming. This is beginning to look like a stock car race on the moon, Bob.
Yeah.
The ESA has a contest for European and Canadian teams. And do they all win together? Is this a participation medal?
Well, what this was they did a contest to see who would get the initial development money for building lunar rovers, private commercial lunar rovers. And so they had a contest where the various competitors built lunar rover prototypes to travel and complete operations on a simulated lunar polar terrain near the poles. And then from that, they picked 5 out of 12 teams to move forward into the next stage of development. Development will give them each 75K euros of money to continue that development. And these companies, there's 4 European and 1 Canadian team who were awarded these euro contracts. So they're going to it's not actually building anything yet. It's development money to work out the designs and start construction. What the European Space Agency here is doing is mimicking what NASA and the U.S. is doing. They are transitioning from having these rovers built by the ESA to having them built by private competing companies, and that way you get it quicker and for less cost. It's also being done by the European Space Agency to allow European competition with the American companies that are doing the same, John.
South Korea.
It's a good sign.
South Korea is getting as well. So this stock car race is growing internationally.
Yes, South Korea is not doing what the U.S. and Europe is doing. It's not going to private enterprise, but South Korea is putting has developed an action plan for developing its own lunar lander sometime in this decade, and it's going to be a government project, it appears. But that's South Korea, which is being a small government, it's really nothing more than like a private company in this sense in this area, and they want to compete, and so they're going to develop and work out a plan to develop their own lunar rover and lander. And so, yes, the numbers keep growing, John, and the competition gets bigger.
It's called Synspective. It's a startup, a Japanese satellite startup. It's raised a lot of money.
Yes, they had already raised $100 million. They just announced they've raised an additional $100 million. Synspective wants to build a constellation of 30 satellites who would do radar observations of the Earth. And what that is mainly used for is Earth resources. You get to see the actual surface of the Earth. It looks through the plant life on the surface. It also can look at the ground and into the ground, penetrating radar, to tell you what's there. And so this is very valuable information for private enterprise. And so they have raised $100 million. They have one problem. Their first demonstration satellite was launched on a Soyuz rocket in 23. That launch is almost certainly threatened by the sanctions against Russia. I'm not sure where Japanese stands in terms of sanctions, so it's not clear if this launch has been canceled or not, but I would say without doubt it's threatened. This particular $100 million that Synspective, thank you, John. This indicates something that another article I linked on Behind the Black indicates, which is that the entire commercial remote sensing industry is being energized by the Ukraine war. Not only would it be is companies like a radar company here getting money now to build these constellations, the numerous private commercial remote sensing imaging satellites that are presently in orbit are finding they're getting a lot of business because they can take pictures of the damage going on in the Ukraine from orbit and no one can stop them. And they take high resolution images. So they're getting a lot of business, which is also going to help fuel investment capital, which will help them continue to build their constellation. So this is just a sign that it's not just the launch industry that is growing, it's also the satellite industry. And the Ukraine war might not help Russia. In fact, it's going to really hurt Russia and the Ukraine, but it's certainly going to help the Western space industry, John.
I've been using those commercial images of Earth not only for Ukraine, Bob, but also for North Korea, where there's activity around their nuclear weapons testing site. So,
And we've also talked about how we know about Iranian rocket launches from these same commercial satellites. It's really amazing.
Another collateral benefit from booster business, and the booster business is growing quickly. Now we go to Israel. Israel is now identifying why a third stage failure from its GSLV rocket. Remind me about the GSLV. Was this an experimental rocket, a new rocket?
No, this is India's large rocket. They have three rockets, two of which are operational. The GSLV, which is geosynchronous, it launches bigger payloads. The PSLV, which is smaller for low Earth orbit. And then the SSLV, which hasn't launched yet, which are going to be small sats. Well, the GSLV, during this two-year period when India panicked about Wuhan and didn't do anything, when they tried to get out of that panic and launch GSLV for the first time after shutting down, it failed. And they've now released their investigation of why the third stage failed, and it's because of a leak that occurred in a valve, which lowered the pressure in the tank and prevented the third stage from firing properly. And they're, of course, investigating and fixing. I want to add a quick story, John. Singapore has added itself to the Artemis Accords. That means we now have 18 nations have signed the Artemis Accords, which Russia and China oppose, which the Trump administration created to encourage private enterprise in space. The more countries that sign in, the more chances we can get around the Outer Space Treaty and have real private enterprise in space.
And we look forward to the checkered flag on the surface of the moon as the lunar rovers rev up their engines and take off for the first ever stock car race on the moon. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring next. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.